Got to run this guy down. He is a CBS Sports senior college basketball writer. He is a CBS Sports HQ college basketball analyst. He is co-host of the Eye on College Basketball podcast. He is Matt Norlander. Matt, what's going on? How are you?
Jim, I'm well. I went sport coat over the t-shirt look just in case you were buttoned up. And you're casual on a Friday.
Come on, dude, you know this. Friday, we are casual. You know this. I appreciate the hustle. You look like a million, but you know this. You know this show. Friday, we dress it down.
That's fair. That's fair. It's great to be with you. I've scooted back home to Connecticut after. Jim, what happened in the Garden on Thursday night was phenomenal. Let's be real. Going into Thursday, we anticipated great things out of the West region, and we got great things out of the West. But you got K-State, Tennessee, Michigan State, FAU. Okay, so from a broad appeal standpoint, what would there really be? Would we get two kind of clunkers, two stinkers? No, man. K-State, MSU was one of the best Sweet 16 games in the history of the tournament and one of the top 10 games I've ever covered in person. I figure that's where you wanted to start, but I wanted to get us on the on-ramp.
You know, it's so funny you say that. I was going to say to you, where do you want to start? Because we can start anywhere. The whole thing is so insane. But what about Marquise Noel? I mean, how sublime was this cat last night? You were in the building. You saw him do what he did. How amazing was that?
It was. Jim, this is why we do this, okay? This is why we do this. For moments like that, it had everything. And it wasn't that, like, Marquise Noel was good down the stretch. Guy was in his bag from the word go. I mean, the deke on MSU with the reverse alley-oop to Keyontae Johnson in overtime when the game is tied is one of the best plays we've seen in the NCAA tournament in the past decade. A phenomenal game. And I do want to give quick credit to Tom Izzo and Michigan State, because Noel rightfully is the story, as he should be. Guy from the Big Apple goes to the Little Apple, returns home, and he owns that city right now. His face is on the back page of the tabloids in New York City. We love to see it. He's listed at 5'8". My man, I'm 6'3". I stood next to him last night for a CBS Sports HQ interview. He might be 5'7". But Michigan State, you got to have two teams to tango. And MSU almost had that game. I bet they almost might get lost to history after all this. They almost had it. But Marquise Noel on a bad wheel, the only time he left the game was when he twisted his ankle and they needed to tape him up. So just incredible stuff. And I happened to steal a moment. I tweeted out the photo in the rush afterward, in the bowels of MSG before he went to the press conference. They were trying to get over there. Jerome Tang was caught behind. So it's Noel, it's Keyontae Johnson, it's just Masood, and they're just sitting there. And Masood's looking at his phone. He's bringing it up. He's like, dude, you don't understand, dog. You're the number one trending topic in the world right now. And Noel could barely even interpret what was happening. He goes, man, that's the best game I've ever had. That's the best game I've ever had. And Keyontae Johnson's right next to him. He's like, three more, man. Three more. And he's like, he's bowing down to Noel as he's doing. He's like, I ain't ever been to Houston. Three more. Meaning, obviously, three more wins for a national championship. Kansas State, as you well know, Jerome came on your show, picked last in the Big 12. It's now one win away from its first Final Four in six decades. This is one of the most surprising teams in the country from a season-long perspective. And now Noel has given us arguably, and we have no shortage of this, Jim, one of the best stories in this year's tournament.
Oh, I love him. I cannot get enough of him. Matt Norlander is joining us right now. So, Matt, I'm picking my spots. UConn wrecked Arkansas last night. And, man, they look great doing it. It makes me wonder, how the hell are these guys a four seed? I mean, did the committee get that one wrong, or is it neither here nor there? And is anybody playing better than the Huskies right now?
Well, okay. So is there anyone playing better? I'll get that one first. I tell you what, this is why the tournament's amazing. Probably no, but through the first two games, before UConn had played last night, a lot of people were saying, Princeton just destroyed Arizona and Missouri. So let's see what the Tigers do on Friday, right? But UConn's been great. Houston's been great. Were they misseeded? No, because the results have to matter. And they did have that January swoon where they dropped, six out of a seven or eight game stretch. So the losses have to count. Now, their seed matches their KenPom ranking, fourth overall. And they are national title worthy. I've seen this team in person multiple times. They're in my home state here. And I saw them at the Big East tournament. And I saw them last week in Albany. Andre Jackson is a one-of-a-kind player because he basically does everything except be a knockdown shooter. Adama Sanogo is a beast. Jordan Hawkins is going to be a first-round NBA pick. They have all the weapons, and it has been a basketball renaissance here in the Nutmeg State because Dan Hurley carried – I talked to him about this multiple times this season, Jim. He carried – the only thing that he carried around him that was really weighing on him, he loved so much about having this job. He had not won a tournament game until this year at UConn. Now – gets to his first Sweet 16. Now he's in his first Elite Eight, and the Huskies look scary. But the team they are going to face, the team they are going to face in Vegas on Saturday is rolling with an all-time college legend coming off of another phenomenal, phenomenal individual performance from Drew Timmy. And then there is something about those teams. We see this across all sports, Jim. There are certain teams that when they face off on a court or a field or on the ice, there is an energy that is special. And UCLA and Gonzaga, I don't know if it was better than K-State, Michigan State, because K-State, Michigan State was outrageous for 45 minutes. But the ending of UCLA Gonzaga was obviously audacious. And so, yes, UConn's going to have to prep up, because I know they are racking their brains trying to figure out how they're going to stop that Gonzaga offense.
It was audacious, Matt. I want to say that I'm not going to lie. I had UCLA winning that game last night, and with no disrespect to Gonzaga, which I absolutely love, and Timmy himself, I think the guy's incredible, but I probably should have known better, right? I probably should have known that not having Jalen Clark was going to catch up to them at some point. I convinced myself in the first half, like, they're fine, they're all right, it's okay, but it did ultimately catch up, didn't it?
Listen, the Jalen Clark injury was just going to catch up with UCLA. Everyone knew it. We talked about it on our Eye on College Basketball podcast. And to the listeners of the show and watchers of your show that also listen to the podcast, they know exactly what I mean by the Jalen Clark injury was going to catch up with UCLA, because it had to. Arguably the best defender in the country. Although, yeah, to me, if Clark is on the floor, I don't know if Timmy gives us his best Hakeem Olajuwon impression and goes off for maybe the best game of his career. But that said, you know, UCLA went cold. It got a great game out of Amari Bailey. It had its opportunities. And then this shot from Strother. I mean, you got to be kidding me, man. You got to be kidding me with that shot at that point. Unbelievable. UCLA had a great season. It is a what if. They did have the injuries with Bona as well. And we'll see. Cronin's building something really, really, really good there. But Gonzaga, in its fifth Elite Eight in the past eight tournaments, I say it every year, I'll say it again here to your audience. Enough with the Gonzaga hating. Give me other teams that are going to five Elite Eights in an eight-year period, going to eight straight Sweet 16s. I know they haven't won a chip yet, but that might be coming. I've talked to Timmy. I've talked to Mark Few. I've talked to that staff. They have embraced this idea that they are not a one or a two, although I got to be honest. After a win like that, you're going to be as prominent of a team in a bracket that we have left here. So it's incredible what we got out of the West. It was amazing to see that game live up to
it. So, Matt, when you saw that shot go up last night, be honest, what were you thinking? Like, I'll be honest, when I saw that shot go up, I thought to myself, man, that is a bad shot. That is a really bad shot until it rattled in. But what did you think when he let that fly?
I mean, I'm not going to say the word here on your show, but I just finished interviewing Dusty May on CBS Sports HQ after FAU had won. So I'm watching on my computer right there in the bowels of MSG. Yeah, is he any good? Exactly. And so Strother puts up this shot and I blurt out, what the F, like out loud, like, cause I'm like, what is this? What are you doing? Like, there was 9 seconds left on the clock. You're down by one. But it goes, and because it goes, I mean, no, it's not quite Suggs, it's not Chris Jenkins, but it's in the tier right below that. That's among the 20 biggest shots in NCAA tournament history, and Strother wasn't even good earlier in the game. The way that a narrative on a game can twist like that, Timmy, they don't even get to that point without Drew Timmy, and yet here they are again from the logo, Strother, in his hometown of Vegas. The vibes around the country in the bracket on Thursday were incredible, from Noel going back, even Tyson Walker from Michigan State as well, and then Strother in his, a lot of, this is my city, this is my city. There was a lot of that on Thursday, and it was absolutely incredible to watch.
Can't get enough. This is why I had you on, or have you on today. What about Princeton? So you've got the fourth 15 seed in tournament history to get to the Sweet 16. How much of a shot do you give the Tigers to shock the world yet again and take down the sixth Creighton? Any kind of shot?
Any kind of shot? Yeah, I give him a real shot. You're talking to a guy who just watched Florida Atlantic get to the Elite Eight after not having a program like 30 years ago from the 9 slot. Now you got Princeton trying to do it for a second straight year, what St. Peter's did. And what we saw Princeton do in the first weekend was no accident. Like, that's not a mistake. They have the dudes to do it. An incredible rebounding team. And keep an eye as you watch this game. Now, I've got Creighton winning. I had Creighton going to the Final Four the night of Selection Sunday. That has not changed. That was my pick, because every year since 2013, we've had at least one team six or worse in seeding crack through to the four. So I thought Creighton was the best candidate. It's got to get two more. We'll see. So I think Creighton will win the game. But Princeton, if it can turn Creighton over, the one thing Creighton doesn't do well, it ranks among the worst teams in the sport at turning teams over. Princeton holds onto the ball, gets some rebounds, some opportunistic threes. It can absolutely get it done. That team is for real, and we'll see if the Blue Jays have enough. The Blue Jays aren't deep, but they've got enough skill, shooting, size, defense to get it done. The way that roster is comprised, Jim, is different from how Arizona and Missouri are. And so I think there's a great chance that's a good game. But Creighton, if it goes their way, they could win with a little bit of comfort.
I love Princeton. I love the story. I think they'll hang in. I have Creighton winning that game. So really quickly, Matt, what about Florida Atlantic? You brought up Dusty May. I mean, he made the point. He came on the show and we talked about the fact that they don't feel like a Cinderella, and they're not. They won 33 games at that point, make that 34. It's not surprising to me that they beat Tennessee, but it is a little bit surprising to me what they did to Tennessee and the way they dismantled them. Were you at all surprised by what you saw in that game last night?
Jim, I wasn't. So the Noel game happens, and I know that I'm writing the column on Noel no matter what, but I got to dial into this. And Tennessee kind of had its way kind of early, but it could never like separate because Tennessee had an offensive ceiling the whole season. Now, Tennessee didn't have Zakai Ziegler either. It's point guard from New York. If he plays, maybe it's a little bit different. But because of the way that Florida Atlantic plays, it's got four guys that shoot around 40% from three-point range. They come at you in waves. There's no team in the tournament that has played together longer than Florida Atlantic. And this wasn't like a 10-21 team a year ago. They've been above 500 every year since Dusty May got there, and they just simply wear you down. They do not tire. They don't tire, okay? And so I was not surprised to see that ultimately that battery charge was longer than Tennessee's, and Tennessee didn't have the offense to do it. They got just enough threes, and they put them away. They salted away the game. And the atmosphere in MSG, FAU brought a good contingent. I was surprised by how many fans they had in that building.
Right.
And to see the NCAA tournament prize and stuff, Jim, you had Michigan State fans and Kansas State fans that stuck around. They're going in on the FAU chance. FAU.
Wow.
FAU. And now, well, Kansas State, they're prepping up for it. Florida Atlantic. Jim, they can get there. They are good enough to beat Kansas State. That should
real.
Be an awesome
no,
one.
I agree, Matt. You're right. They have a motor. They never tire. They're like their coach. They're reflective of their coach. Matt, great job. Great job. Really good to have you back on. Appreciate you, Matt. Matt Norlander.